I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare. We're talking today about something that's more painful, we've heard, than childbirth, kidney stones.
Everybody says that, even the guys.
Well, you know, we don't want to leave them out from experiencing the pain.
All right.
There's some interesting facts about kidney stones and some interesting treatment we're going to talk about that people would never think of, so be a good show. Let's talk first about what is a kidney stone? Must come from the kidney.
Yes. Kidney stones are actually formed in the kidney, and it is actually a deposit of crystals where you actually have a concentration of the urine, and there's different types of crystals that can actually form a stone that can be just as small as a grain of sand, and those can be extremely painful as they pass through, or they can be as big as a golf ball. And of course those would be very difficult to pass. And of course you're dealing with something with a kidney, so kidney stones can be dangerous. They can cause a blockage of the flow of urine, back up the kidney, and cause some serious problems. Most of the time, as you try to pass a kidney stone, they're much smaller, the vast majority, and really no danger, except they just hurt terribly. It's not something that you want to experience if you've never had one before. You know, thank your lucky stars. And if you had one, you never want to experience it again.
Well, what causes kidney stones to form then? You talk about they're like crystals.
Yeah, it's crystals, and there's different types of crystals that can actually form in there, and depending on exactly what kind it is, then you have different causes along those lines. The most common ones are the called the calcium oxalate crystals, and that's actually caused by a myriad of things. Probably the number one thing that people need to be aware of is if they're dehydrated. You know, if there's a concentration of the urine, that's a very, very important thing that you shouldn't have happen.
And well, what do you mean by that, concentration of urine?
The urine should be in a much more diffuse type of thing. There's a specific gravity, and if the urine becomes more concentrated, obviously the more chance you have of actually forming a crystal.
Okay.
So you need to actually make sure that you aren't dehydrated, because dehydration is one of the causes of kidney stones. So
and that is a big issue with people.
It is a very big issue.
Dehydrated, yeah.
One of the things that we do is we do something called the body composition analysis. And that will actually show up the water concentration in people's bodies. We are born with 70% water, and we should maintain a water weight of about 60% is ideal. If you go below 50%, then you're actually dehydrated. And it's amazing how many people, because we do a body composition analysis on about everyone, about 50% of the people are coming in dehydrated.
Wow. And that's, we're not just talking about older people, because
we're talking about everyone.
You see that. Wow. We should be walking around with water.
We should be walking around with water and keep the water weight up. That is something that is very, very important to do, and one of the major causes of the kidney stones. So making sure that we have our proper water weight, and that we aren't dehydrated, that we have a urination that is actually clear. One of the things that is very important is both of our kids were involved in sports. Our daughter was in soccer, and they had sort of an education on that. One of the ways that you can actually tell whether you are dehydrated or not is the color of your urine.
Oh, yeah. She came home telling
me. Yeah, she was very excited about that, and that she was actually watching the color of her urine. And if you,
so she's going to be so happy you're mentioning that. Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully she doesn't hear that, which I doubt she will. Even on the sports teams, if you're looking at the professional football players, I've had professional teams that always educate their players that the best way to actually measure whether you are dehydrated or not is the color of your urine.
So what color do you want it?
As clear as possible. So you don't want that dark yellow color.
Okay.
Yeah, because that means that you're probably dehydrated. And for those who have a tendency towards kidney stones, that's a bad sign. So
the darker it is,
the more chance you are of actually developing a kidney stone. So one of the causes of that is dehydration. There are many other different types of causes, too. There are hormonal changes that can take place. If you have a hyperparathyroid, you have some problems with the adrenals, with Cushing syndrome. Other different types of imbalances in the hormones, because the hormones actually determine your balance in your minerals. Mm-hmm. There is a tremendous amount of involvement in that. One of the things that they used to think is with calcium oxalate crystals is to reduce your calcium intake. Mm-hmm. But that actually really didn't make a whole lot of difference, because you actually have a huge amount of calcium in your skeletal structure. Mm-hmm. So if you actually reduce your calcium intake, oftentimes the body will just pull it out of your skeletal. Right. Mm-hmm. It'll just pull it out of the skeletal structure. Mm-hmm. So the restriction on the calcium really wasn't working. What is important is that you actually have a balance in your minerals. Mm-hmm. Is the most important thing, and that your hormones are actually working. Blood tests are very important to actually do along those lines to make sure, one, that you don't have a hyperparathyroid, mm-hmm. or that you don't have some adrenal or other different types of hormonal imbalances, because if you do, then you're going to have a higher chance of actually getting kidney stones. So our kidney stone patients, we always check to see if they're dehydrated or not. Mm-hmm. Measure that, because oftentimes people don't know. And we give them different strategies according to the pH of their body, to or how much water they take in, and then actually tell them when they've actually achieved a good level of mm-hmm. water in their system.
And when you're talking about the blood test, you're not just looking at the kidneys,
There's
a lot more than that.
Sure. The kidneys, of course, are always evaluated, urinalysis, but we also have to do the blood test for the hormones. Also along those lines, we need to do hair analysis.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the
ways.
Minerals.
Yeah, to see what the balance is of the minerals. Also to make sure that there isn't any heavy metal toxicity, especially cadmium is known to cause kidney stones.
Oh.
So we've had
cadmium.
Cadmium. Mm-hmm. We've found a lot of people who had chronic kidney stones found the cadmium levels. If they have high cadmium, nothing that they do will actually help the kidney stones until they actually eliminate the cadmium out of their system.
And how do they do that?
We have a detoxification program. There is actually a very specific type of minerals that we give mm-hmm. along with homeopathic detoxification for the cadmium. And it works extremely, extremely well.
Interesting.
That's a very, has been a very common problem in people with kidney stones is the high cadmium. Also, the calcium magnesium needs to be in balance. Potassium also plays a big role. And also the phosphorus levels.
And you find that on the hair analysis?
Hair analysis and blood work. We compare the two. And from that, we can actually get a very good picture of what's going on with the on how to actually get the long-term type of effect of the kidney stones under control.
Mm-hmm.
So the other things that are also involved on that is there's a obesity.
Mm-hmm.
If you are overweight, you have a much higher chance of actually getting kidney stones. Also, the fiber intake that you take in has a very big effect. Also, the type of salt that you use.
So you'd want more fiber in your diet.
Absolutely. One of the things is, you know, if you go back before the 1930s, kidney stones were actually pretty rare.
Hmm.
As we've gone along in our history, kidney stones have become much more common. In males, about 10% of all males are going to have a kidney stone attack.
Wow.
4% of all females. So it's much more common in males than in women. It also has been increasing. Back in the 1970s, only about 4% of men had kidney stones.
So why has it been increasing?
That's a very good question. And one of the things that goes along with that is a higher incidence of obesity, poorer diet.
Why does obesity affect the kidney stones?
They aren't completely sure, but there is actually, obesity causes a huge amount of changes in the body. It changes the pH of the system. It turns the body more acidic, which the acidity actually does cause some problems along those lines for a precursor to kidney stones. It also changes the hormonal balance of the body.
Wow.
If you're obese, then that can play a bigger role even in osteoporosis.
Mm-hmm.
Kidney stones are actually more common in people who've been through cancer and also people with osteoporosis, too.
Okay, when we come back, let's talk about the symptoms of kidney stones.
You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. Let's talk about the different treatments here at the Prather Practice that are effective in infertility.
The most famous one is acupuncture.
Mm-hmm.
Acupuncture, that's one of the things. We have a very well-known acupuncture part of our practice. I'm a licensed acupuncturist, and so most women, most couples that are coming in for the acupuncture portion. But we also let them know that there's a lot of other things that we can do that can actually help that have been well proven to facilitate pregnancy.
Well, let's go back to acupuncture. Mm-hmm. How does that help in infertility?
There's no doubt that there's quite a bit of results with acupuncture. As a matter of fact, a lot of infertility clinics, because it has improved the rate so much, is that they've added that in mm-hmm. to part of their practice. So there's no doubt that that helps. One of the things that I have found is that acupuncture is absolutely amazing on two things. One, it reduces the inflammation in through the body. Mm-hmm. And inflammation, high amounts, especially in the reproductive area, will certainly kick off infertility. So a reduction in inflammation is one of the basic types of things. The other thing that it definitely has been proven to have an effect on is the hormones of the body. Acupuncture really improves the oxytocin, which is sort of your feel-good, happy place.
That's what I hear mostly from patients after their acupuncture.
Sure.
You know, they feel so much better.
Right.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the things that you can do just to feel better immediately. I have a lot of people who have sleep disturbances, anxiety. I've had so many people who, with some regular acupuncture treatments, no longer need anti-anxiety medication.
Mm.
So there's just this really feel-good, and oxytocin high levels is definitely one of the hormones that really helps with fertility. So that's been very well proven, and we see that evident on every patient almost that we do. Acupuncture definitely has an effect on both of those things, and both of those things has a big part in infertility. If you're going through infertility as an issue, absolutely acupuncture is 100% safe, no real side effects. It would be foolish not to do that.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. The end of the year is a busy and hectic time for all of us as we get swept up in holiday schedules. But it also might be the perfect time to take advantage of your health insurance benefits before deductibles and flexible spending accounts expire at the end of the year. If you're close to or have already met your insurance deductible, you have every incentive to take full advantage of all healthcare needs before the deductible resets. And for those with flexible spending accounts, you'll forfeit any unused funds at the end of the year. Now is the time to consider the benefits of your health insurance plan and schedule that annual wellness check. At the Prather Practice, we encourage everyone to have a thorough annual physical and the appropriate lab test that will map out the blueprint to your health. Don't miss out on the full benefits of your health insurance plan. Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice before the end of the year. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest.
We're talking today about something that's more painful than childbirth, kidney stones. I've done the childbirth thing three times, but no kidney stones. Let's talk, we were talking about the statistics and how they've increased, how kidney stones have increased.
Yes.
You're saying now 10% of all males. That's in the United States.
That's in the United States, and it's much higher in the United States than other countries.
Surprise, surprise.
When you actually get into developed countries, it's a much higher incidence than in undeveloped. And a lot of that plays a big role in our dietary type of,
We have all these resources.
Right.
And yet, when I went to Africa in the village, they ate so well. You didn't see refined sugar anywhere in the village.
No, they couldn't afford it.
No. And yet, their teeth look so good, and you didn't see body fat on these people,
Right.
I mean, they ate so healthy,
know,
and they cooked for us, and here we have all these resources, and we have all these health issues.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There's definitely an issue with the modern diet, the salt that we use. If you actually use salt from the ocean, it actually cuts down on your chances of having kidney stones. If you use the table salt, which is a mine salt, that actually increases your chances of getting kidney stones.
Yeah, we talk big on sea salt.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And high fructose corn syrup is a big cause of kidney stones, too.
Yeah.
Because it changes the pH of the body. Another interesting thing is almost everybody who has bariatric surgery develops kidney stones.
Why is that?
There is a change in the pH in the whole digestive system because you change the activity of the stomach. So any type of and again, one of the things that we always stress within our practice is homeostasis. When the body is in perfect homeostasis, and that's balance, of the body, pH, minerals, vitamins. If there's a perfect balance in the body, then you actually have homeostasis. And homeostasis is the definition of health. And when you're dealing with structure function medicine, that's what we do, is we get the body back into balance. And as you do surgeries, as you take pharmaceuticals, that throws the body further off of balance. They are oftentimes necessary. But you have to make up for those things.
Mm-hmm.
So, when we were talking about the statistics on that, there's a million visits to the emergency room a year for kidney stones.
A million.
A million.
Wow.
A year. And 10% of all adult males will go in for a kidney stone, and 3% of females.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that's increasing and increasing quite rapidly.
Hmm.
And that has a lot to do with our modern environmental chemical food changes that we're actually experiencing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about the symptoms of a kidney stone. How do people know they have one?
One of the things that actually occurs in the most common type of scenario is pain. And the pain usually originates down in the groin, and then that means that it's up in the kidney.
Mm-hmm.
And then as it moves down, very interestingly, it oftentimes moves up.
Mm-hmm.
So as it goes down, it moves up. That's a very common type of scenario. Most of the time when people have kidney stones, as I palpate their kidney area, there is some inflammation and pain associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the kidney stones, even if they're not passing, will irritate the kidney and cause some symptoms along those lines. The other things is that you can actually have an urgency to urinate, where you feel that urgency, like you have to go and may not be able to, because of the stimulation from the kidney stone itself. There's blood and sediment, oftentimes in the urine. Nausea and vomiting. People can get really, really sick along those lines. And then you can also have a fever and chills can also occur, because oftentimes if you do have kidney stones, then you have a much higher propensity to have urinary tract infections.
Mm-hmm.
So early urinary tract infections can actually be a sign that you have some underlying kidney stones.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So take those seriously, the UTIs.
Yeah, have the UTIs, and if it's something that's occurring, actually having the kidneys looked at carefully is an important type of a test to do.
So is there any like symptom that someone might be having them before? Is there a time to catch them? I mean, you want to prevent them.
Sure.
Right. Is there, once you have them, you got to get rid of them, or not necessarily?
Once you have the kidney stones, well, the first thing is that everybody needs a yearly checkup.
Yeah.
And one of the things with 10% of all the males coming in, with kidney stones, I mean, that's one of the things I always check for. Mm-hmm. Is there a possibility that the patient has kidney stones? Is that something that, we need to deal with? As anyone who has chronic urinary tract infections, having that checked along those lines are very important. Also, one of the things is that we always check every patient to see if they're dehydrated or not.
Mm-hmm. Through that bioimpedance testing.
Bioimpedance testing, we can actually see.
A lot of times people are even saying people are waking up dehydrated.
Oh, yeah. One of the signs of dehydration is when you wake up and your feet are painful in the morning.
Hmm.
You get up and people say, well, when I get up in the morning and I put my feet down, my feet are sore. After I walk around a little bit, they feel better. But that's actually a sign of some dehydration. So,
yeah, and we did a show all on, it's one of the 8 pillars of perfect health. We did a show on water.
Right.
Yeah. And so we have that on our website at The Voice of Health Radio for people if they want to listen to that. We went into some great details about water.
Sure. And being dehydrated is actually a very serious type of thing. It actually changes the entire chemistry of the body because you need to have a certain amount of fluids in your system, the water, for proper chemical reactions to, for the proper pH. All those different types of
things.
We're not
talking about liquid, we're talking about water.
Right. It actually has to be.
Talking about pop or any kind of liquid.
Right. It actually has to be water.
Mm-hmm. And good water.
Right. And dehydration is a very serious health condition.
Yeah. I'm being convicted. What diagnostics, we talked a little bit, should be done for kidney stones? We talked about blood work, not just looking at the kidneys.
Of course. A couple of things with as you're doing diagnostics is that there are CT images that you can actually find out exactly what levels of kidney stones you have. So there are ways to image it, but a urinalysis is the first step. Oftentimes, the people who don't even know that they have kidney stones will show up in their urinalysis, where we'll actually have calcium oxalate crystals that will show up there, early sign that they actually have some kidney stones with a good explanation of that whole area. Along with those things, a hair analysis is extremely helpful to make sure that, that you don't have cadmium toxicity, that you also have a balance of your minerals, blood work, kidney function tests. Whenever you have kidney stones, the glomerular filtration rate, the ability of your kidneys to actually work starts to drop. So those are all indicators that there are problems going on. Also, hormonal tests to make sure that, the adrenals are working correctly, the parathyroid, thyroid, all the different types of balances on that. When you're talking about hormonal balance, it's a very complicated type of area. And something that if you don't have working properly, you can't have good health. And the hormones will actually determine whether you are functioning correctly or not. There's also vitamin tests. Vitamin A, vitamin D are very, very important. Vitamin B6, testing those out.
Vitamin D in our blood work a lot.
Right. Those are all very important to make sure that, those levels are correct, because that would be a huge contributing factor. So as we do the diagnostics, we do a very thorough type of thing. We do all the medical tests, and also we do a lot of the functional tests to find out if there are precursors. Or if you do have that, exactly what the cause is. There is always a cause to every condition, and there is a cause to kidney stones. And those can be discovered and reversed. You don't have to live with kidney stones.
That's good to know.
That is very good to know.
Well, when we come back, let's talk about how kidney stones are treated and the structure function approach. Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Laughter is the best medicine.
Yes, the holidays are upon us. Parents, don't buy clothes for your kids. Don't you remember? Don't do it, okay? It's an obligation. I used to call my parents out on it. Excuse me, Mom, Dad, this isn't a Christmas present. You are required by law to provide food, shelter, and clothing, all right? Now get back to the store and get me my He-Man, or I swear to God, I'm going to eat this bowl of sugar and follow you down around all day.
Are you frustrated by not getting to the root cause of your health issue? Are you tired of not knowing why you're always fatigued? Are you wanting to say no to toxic drugs? Have you lost hope? Are you just tired of being sick and tired? At the Prather Practice, we want you to know that we have the answers for you. We offer the alternative to the disease care model. We are the drug-free model to health and wellness. At the Prather Practice, we look for the underlying cause of your health problem and not just the symptomatology. Through thorough diagnostics, we find your individual health blueprint for your treatment. Where the disease care model is symptom-based, the structure function model we practice gets to the root of your health issue. The Prather Practice is the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest. Our integrated practice offers you the most treatment options to restore your health and your hope. Learn more about the Prather Practice by calling 317-848-8048 or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland.
I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue. We're talking today about something that's more painful than childbirth, kidney stones.
All right. Maybe women feel better because men have that more than women do.
Yeah. You know, somehow it...
God's way to make up for it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, let's talk about, Dr. Prather, how kidney stones are treated and the structure function approach to that.
Well, there's the prevention, which is a very important type of aspect, which we touched on a little bit. But what if you actually have a kidney attack? Mm-hmm. You know, what do you do in that type of instance? Oftentimes, a doctor will just say, well, you know, you can. It doesn't look too big, so we think you can pass it on your own. If it is too large or you're having more problems, then what they'll do is they'll actually hit it with some sound waves and try to
sound
break
waves.
It up.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's a shockwave lithotripsy. Mm-hmm. They find it on video fluoroscopy. Then they actually send some shockwaves through there and break it up that way. Mm-hmm. That's one way of actually doing it. There's other ways to get it. They will actually go up the urethra. Uh-huh. And crush it is another way. Surgical intervention is mm-hmm. another means of actually getting it.
You said shock it, crush it.
Shock it, crush it, and surgically remove it.
Okay.
One of the things, though, is that if you actually do break it up, then those little crystals can actually form more. You know, so, you know, there's some problems with all that. It is something that can be done, very, very helpful. When people are actually trying to pass it on their own, there is an awful lot of pain. And a very interesting thing, there was actually an old remedy for the kidney stones that used to be out there. One of the things is, you remember that in drugstores, they always had soda fountains.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where you always found them. Well, in the older days, they didn't make medicines into pills. They had it in a liquid form. And when they would give it to people, usually it was an herbal type of formula, and it tasted awful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was not a, you know, if you've taken, I've given you lots of herbs, and
yeah.
they don't taste that great. So people weren't very compliant because of the bad taste. So What they did is a easy way to get it down people was to put a little sugar in with it,
mm-hmm.
and then use some soda water.
Okay, interesting.
So what you would do is you would
that's
get
how
your,
soda fountain?
That's how. That's actually how soda and pop actually came into being.
Interesting.
It was originally a medicine. That's why it was done in drugstores. So you would go in, you would get your prescription of the whichever type of herbal type of remedy you would get.
Wow.
They would take it over, add a little bit of sugar, and then they would put it under the soda,
mm-hmm.
and then you would get the fizz to it, and then people would drink it down and enjoy it that way.
Uh-huh.
And one of the old sodas was actually for kidney stones, passing kidney stones.
Mm-hmm.
And it was known by a name that wasn't real well known, Coca-Cola.
Okay. Coca-Cola. Never heard of it.
Never heard of it. That's also one of the things that the reason that they had cocaine in the formula.
Mm-hmm.
People know that the Coca-Cola, the term coca, actually was from the cocaine. And the cocaine was for the pain.
Mm.
And then the herbal formula was actually to dissolve kidney stones. And one of the things that's an old remedy that many of my patients have actually tried with a tremendous amount of success
mm-hmm.
is they start drinking, now original Coca-Cola, the herbal formula on that is exactly the same as it used to be.
Oh, wow.
Now they've added, it used to be green, but they added some coloring to it.
Uh-huh.
And then they oftentimes, you know, instead of having the real sugar, they add high fructose corn syrup to it,
mm-hmm.
which is not as effective as just having the sugar in it.
So people can find the Coca-Cola with...
Well, you can't. I don't think you can find it with just the sugar. You have to go out of the country to get that.
But, oh, okay.
But it's still very effective. And I've had patients who were passing kidney stones, and they... Now, you don't want to get it cold because it's not as effective. So you want to drink it warm.
Mm-hmm.
And then most of them drink about 6 bottles of that
mm-hmm.
in a very short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep on drinking it until the pain goes away. And it's surprising, but it's extremely effective.
Interesting. And then they pass the kidney stone.
Well, actually, it oftentimes dissolves it. As a matter of fact, that's what Coca-Cola is also well known for, is for batteries that are gunked up. You know,
uh-huh.
where you have a battery when you form some...
what do you call that?
It's actually like a kidney stone.
Uh-huh.
It's got some crystals on there.
Mm-hmm.
It starts to form because of the electricity that's around there.
Uh-huh.
And you actually pour Coca-Cola over that, and it will actually dissolve that that crud on there.
Uh-huh.
And it does the
doing.
Same thing. And oftentimes they don't even pass a kidney stone because it's dissolved.
Mm-hmm.
So just a little heads up on that, and that's where Coca-Cola got its originations. Well, the problem is that people would drink the Coca-Cola for the kidney stones and say, wow, I really like that cocaine, and I really like the taste, and let me do that. You know what? Oh, I think I feel my kidney stone coming back on.
Write me a prescription.
So people started to actually like that without the – matter of fact, like Dr. Pepper
uh-huh.
was actually originated by a true Dr. Pepper, and that was for constipation.
Uh-huh.
So – and root beer. You know, root beer was sassafras root,
yeah.
and that was for liver detoxification.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole soda bottling industry actually got its start as medicines.
How did that get away from that?
People started liking it. And then there was a better delivery where you would just make it into a pill with technology, and then it was no longer necessary.
You like your sassafras root beer.
I do like sassafras root beer.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very good for liver detoxification. That's one of the reasons that I like it. Now, there are other things that are very good for when you are actually having kidney problems. One of the things that we use is Solidago, goldenrod.
Yeah.
Very good for kidney pain. That is something that we always give.
That's an herbal.
Yeah, it's actually we use it in a homeopathic form.
Okay.
We give that, and excellent also for the pain of kidney stones. We use that in combination if people want to take the Coca-Cola also along with it. Very effective, but oftentimes we can give the Solidago formula on that, and homeopathic formula, and have almost immediate results on the pains in the kidney.
Interesting.
So that's a very good way of actually working with it also.
Mm-hmm.
Also giving some minerals along those lines. Oftentimes if it's calcium oxalate, we can give large amounts of magnesium and get a lot of relief along those lines. Also lemon lemon juice in water.
Uh-huh.
Matter of fact, one of the ways to actually prevent the kidney stones from reoccurring is taking two lemons, putting it in about 16 ounces of water, and drinking that every day.
Mm.
One, you get the water in there, but then also lemons change the pH, and it can help out tremendously with keeping the formation of the kidney stones.
Is that why
they
started putting lemons in water?
Well, it actually makes it fresher and tastes better, but it is actually very good for changing the pH of the urine. It's excellent along those lines.
Interesting. So in the structure function model mm-hmm. of the Prather Wellness Center, what treatments, you know, how have you helped people with kidney stones? You know, you've recommended the Coca-Cola, which is very interesting.
Right, right.
That's worked.
We have actually, for an acute type of situation, of course, hitting it with, we have several different things for the pain, several different things to help to dissolve it. As we hit those things, we can actually make some changes. If it's too large, of course, you have to go in for the surgical or the breaking it up. Those are important types of ways to do it. But long-term, mainly finding out what is the underlying cause.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting the hormones balanced out, making sure that the parathyroid is working well, that we recheck it, make sure that it's all in line. And the body's very particular about the levels of calcium in the blood.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's off, there's a reason for it, and usually it's hormonal. So making sure that those hormones, and we have several different ways of approaching that. We have homeopathy. We have herbal types of things that affect that. We also have glandulars that make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
And we recheck that, make sure that that's balanced out. Also looking at the hair analysis. People have the cadmium toxicity. You know, they're going to just constantly have kidney problems.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to detox that out of the system, and you have to get the minerals balanced out in the system. And the main ones that you're looking at are the calcium levels. You're also looking at the magnesium levels. You're also talking about potassium, phosphorus, vitamin D, making sure that those things are all correct. Also, there's dietary changes that need to take place.
What dietary factors associate with kidney stones?
Well, one, you want to, as you can cut down on the amount of meat, vegetarians very seldom actually get kidney stones.
Mm, interesting.
So cutting down on the amount of meat that you actually eat, going more vegetarian, actually has a very, very good effect along those lines. Avoiding sugar is a important part, especially the fructose. Fructose is extremely bad for kidney stones. So you want to make sure that you eliminate all high corn syrup fructose out of your system,
mm-hmm.
Out of your diet. Also switching from regular table salt to, you know, Celtic sea salt,
mm-hmm.
Is an important part also of the whole dietary types of changes. But there are also some foods that are very high in oxalic acid, and we'll get to those right after our break.
All right. Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
One of the most basic fundamentals that that I base my practice off of is something called the Atlas Orthogonal
mm-hmm.
Technique.
It's the type of adjustment.
It's a specific type of an adjustment, and orthogonal means at right angles. In other words, the head is sitting on top of your body.
Mm-hmm. That's a good thing.
That's a good thing. Because about 80% of the people don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
And it has probably one of the greatest effects on the entire system.
You're saying 80% of people don't have the right...
The atlas sitting on underneath the skull.
Now, the atlas proper. We're talking about is the first vertebrae.
First vertebrae under the occiput. So a basic type of thing, and what I found is that probably has the biggest effect on the health of an individual over anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually make the greatest amount of changes with the atlas, getting it in the right position. because it's right there at the base of the skull, which is the center of the autonomic nervous system.
The base of the skull.
Which actually controls all the functions of the body. So the atlas orthogonal is one of the big bases of what we do and has the biggest effect on the health of the individual. And really, to make any types of changes in the rest of the system to help the body to work correctly, that's the beginning of where you need to start. And when I'm actually working with patients, I make sure that that's in position. Now, of course, 20% of the people don't have a problem with that. So we go on to
Everybody that walks in the office has that issue.
And not everybody who walks into the office has that issue. But getting that corrected is absolutely essential for me to make the other postural changes and to make the changes in the system.
And I want to bring up here, you're board certified in the Atlas Orthogonal Technique, the only one in the state of Indiana. Got your training down in Atlanta. So extensive training.
I was one of the original six. In that. So that's a huge basis. So there's a very strong belief system in that. And then also, I had my greatest amount of changes in my health through this particular type of adjustment. So I can speak from a personal type of standpoint.
Find out how the Atlas Orthogonal Chiropractic Adjustment can transform your health. Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
We're talking today about something that's more painful than childbirth, kidney stones. Just all the history behind the soda fountain.
Yeah, and something
weren't
a lot of
people
don't
know. Weren't you a soda jerk one time?
Oh, what'd you call them?
Soda jerk?
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, in high school, I worked as a soda jerk in a drugstore.
Interesting. You don't see those soda fountains anymore. Well, there was one in Zionsville, but that's...
Sure, and it's an old tradition and something that people don't even know why soda fountains were in drugstores.
Our kids probably don't even know what one is.
Right.
Yeah. Well, let's continue. We were talking about dietary factors associated with kidney stones, some things you were talking about. Vegetarians, a lot of time, because of their diet, don't get kidney stones.
Correct.
Because of red meat. They're not eating red meat.
Sure. It has a huge effect on the acidic levels. So as you can get more, alkaline, then you actually cut down on your kidney stones. But the some of the foods that you also want to avoid that are high in oxalic acid, which makes the calcium oxalate, are spinach, rhubarb, tomatoes, collards, eggplants, beets, celery, summer squash, sweet potatoes, peanuts, almonds, blueberries, blackberries, strawberries, Concord grapes, parsley, cocoa. Are all high in oxalic acid, and those should be all avoided when you actually have kidney stones.
All those good stuff, huh?
Yeah, all those good things.
So that should be avoided.
Those should be avoided.
You just went through.
And you should also avoid grapefruit juice.
Okay.
So those are some of the important things that you need to look at. Now, a couple of things that you can eat that also goes along with helping to cut down on kidney stones. One of the best ones that they found that they've done some research on is pumpkin seeds.
Ah, that help.
That actually help with cutting down on kidney stones. So that would be a very, very important type of an area to go with.
I know they're helpful for other things too.
Sure.
Yeah.
Orange juice actually has been shown to be helpful.
Interesting.
Watermelon also is something that has been shown to be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So eat those pumpkin seeds.
Yeah. I know. We always have a big bag of them in the pantry.
Our son loves to eat those.
Uh-huh. Are there long-term consequences of kidney stones?
Yes. Having kidney stones can cause a lot of kidney damage. So you know, looking at the kidneys and making sure that they're healthy is a very, very important part of one's health. It can actually, with kidney stones, you can have eventually get blood pressure problems because of the damage to the kidneys. 70% of all hypertension comes from the kidneys. So making sure that the kidneys are working. If you do have kidney stones, then you need to make sure that those kidneys are healthy, because there probably has been some damage that's occurred. So watching that, one of the things that you would need to do is, if you do have kidney stones, you're really talking about lifetime type of care at that point.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
So right.
So it doesn't occur again.
Right, and also, because you have had kidney stones in the past, there's probably some damage that's occurred. And the kidneys are very, very important for one's health. For anyone who has a kidney disease, and one of the things is that kidney disease is sort of the silent killer.
Hmm.
Because if the kidneys start to go, then that causes a backup and pressure on the heart. And it's a downward spiral from that. Matter of fact, one of the ways that you can tell metabolic age, biological age,
yeah,
is actually measuring the glomerular filtration rate of people.
Hmm.
So as you get older, your ability of your kidneys actually decrease to actually get rid of the toxins. If you're younger, then you have a much higher type of a rate on that, and the measurement on that is something called the glomerular filtration rate. So I will get people in, and if they're in their 30s, but they're having trouble with their kidneys actually functioning properly, their biological age goes right through the roof.
Hmm. Yeah.
If you, I've had people who came in that were 70 years old, and they had kidneys of a 20-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually tell their activity level, their energy, is much, much higher. Matter of fact, one of the things is, if your kidney starts to go down on its function, that's one of the major causes of fatigue. If you're in any type of martial art fighting and you get a kidney punch, it takes all the strength out of you.
Interesting, yeah.
And when you actually have kidney problems, one of the things that occur is that you have this chronic fatigue feeling.
Mm.
So being tired, fatigued all the times is one of the signs that you can have some kidney issues.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to rebuild the kidneys is a very important type of thing, making sure that the function is up. One, making sure that the nutrients are there. Vitamin A is very important for the kidneys, along with that, the vitamin D. Making sure that the minerals are balanced. And then a protein called arginine. Is extremely important. That's one of the things that we use quite a bit of.
Yes, at the office.
Right at the office. Mm-hmm. And with high levels of arginine, then we can actually see the kidney starting to heal itself.
Mm.
One of the things is that the body is very good at rebuilding itself.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things. Every 7 years, you actually remake your entire system. Every cell in your body, except for the nerve cells, are actually replaced. Having those kidneys working properly is a very important part. The other things that we look at for the treatment of the kidneys, acupuncture. Matter of fact, as you are going through, if you're passing a kidney stone, several things that we do is we, of course, almost always give Solidago for the pain. We also let them know about the Coca-Cola and let them decide on whether to do that. The other thing is that we do acupuncture.
Mm-hmm.
And acupuncture can relieve the pain quite dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
Also, acupuncture is very good treatment for the kidneys. We've had people who were really stuck on getting their kidneys back up to function. And once we started the acupuncture, we saw a very definite difference on the function of the kidney,
mm-hmm.
and saw a dramatic change, you know, on the blood work and on the urinalysis on what was showing up.
Interesting.
So acupuncture is very important. Chiropractic adjustments,
mm-hmm.
very, very beneficial. You have to have the nervous system working right to the kidneys, and we see some good changes along those lines. We also do auricular therapy. It has been shown to be very, very painful. I mean, very, very helpful. I was thinking about auricular therapy is one of the strongest types of things that you can actually do for pain.
Right.
So if someone is actually having pain of a kidney stone, first off, we will get them on the products that they need. Then we will also do the acupuncture and then some auricular therapy, and very, very beneficial. In auricular therapy, what we do is we do a microcurrent on different points of the ear. Those points have been shown to correspond with points on the brain. and extremely effective for pain relief.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that we have is if you, taking pharmaceuticals for the pain is, of course, oftentimes necessary, but we also have pain creams, which can be extremely beneficial.
And are those put in on the kidney area?
Yeah, you actually put those right over the kidney area, mm-hmm. and we've had patients come in with the kidney pain, did a combination of that, and almost everybody has had excellent results without the toxicity of actually taking the pharmaceutical directly.
Yeah.
Now, that's always an option, but if you can find an alternative
mm-hmm.
to actually taking something that's toxic to the body, it's always the better way to go.
And you talked about, kidney stones can reoccur, right? So this is something.
If you actually have a kidney stone, you have a 50% chance of having another attack.
Oh, that's a high percentage.
Extremely high percentage.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to take that seriously.
Yeah.
And basically, as I've told my patients, you need to consider that you're just a lifetime patient.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've had kidney stones, you need to constantly be working on that and making sure that that doesn't happen again. You're going to need to take some supplementation. You're going to need to get regular checks to make sure everything's going right.
Mm-hmm.
Because the more times that you have a kidney stone pass, the more damage you have that actually occurs, and the more problems you're going to have down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So taking that seriously is an important part of what you need to look at.
Yeah, and talking about, prevention. Again, what can be done to prevent the kidney stones?
One of the things that I tell people is that they need to do the lemon water.
Mm-hmm.
They need to make sure that their minerals are balanced. They need to make sure that they have the vitamins up to where they need to be, especially vitamin A, vitamin D. Vitamin B6 also plays a very big role along those lines. Aloe vera has also been very effective,
mm-hmm.
Shown effective for the kidney stones. Those are several different things. The Solidago, ongoing on that, keeps the inflammation down, keeps a lot of the formation going from coming back of the kidney stones. Again, regular diagnostics. Having the levels of the kidney stones actually imaged is an important indicator.
Mm-hmm.
And then making sure that you don't become dehydrated and actually measuring that, because oftentimes people don't know.
Right, right. And we talked about that being measured through the bioimpedance test that we do at the office. Now, can kids get kidney stones?
Yes. Kids have been actually shown to get kidney stones as young as 5.
Wow.
So that's one thing to be aware of. And we've had had patients actually bringing kids with kidney stones. And no one had actually thought about that as a possibility, even their pediatrician.
Mm-hmm.
So, and kids don't know how to relate that. And that is something that needs to be looked at. So every age needs to be looked at. And one of the things is that regular yearly checkups,
mm-hmm.
oftentimes we can actually pick up before people even get a kidney stone, which is even the best type of thing. I said, did you know that you had kidney stones?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, no. Mm-hmm. I said, well, you don't want to know. You don't want to find out. You don't want to go through that pain.
Right.
So these are the things you need to do to eliminate that. We need to see how much is actually going on in there. These are the tests that need to be done, and we need to get that all balanced out, and we need to make sure that that stays that way.
Mm-hmm.
And once you've had kidney stones, your chances of actually developing them again are higher than normal. So this is something that you're going to need to watch on the rest of your life and make sure that that doesn't develop, and that will go a long way towards your health and benefit and longevity.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Prather, we're going to wrap up here. Is there any last comments you want to make regarding the kidney stones?
Don't feel like this is a lost cause. There are causes to everything, and everything can be changed.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Prather, as always. The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.